This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Back here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. We are in the Caesars Superdome right now, getting ready for the countdown to kickoff. Coming up with the Cajun Cannon, you can see us at Gate B in the atrium level. Make sure you stop by, say hey. We had a little difficulty finding our spot this morning, but we made it.
We just need to move on, Steve. We're here now.
I know, I can't get over it because I was making fun of Bobby, who needs help getting to our area, and I was like, I ended up, we like did like a whole loop around the dome.
You say help, it's not like he gets, like he just needs someone to lead him.
Yeah, he puts their hand on Patrick's shoulder.
He walks here under his own power. Yeah, he doesn't like need to get blindfolded. But he'll get here. He'll get here, just like we got here.
Getting to our sound now for this hour. Tight end Foster Moreau recently spoke to the Saints media, and you really found out he was dealing with a pretty serious ankle injury going into the season last year.
Yeah, that's what he talked about.
Especially, you know, printed ankle brace.
Yeah, like a 3D printed ankle brace. And, you know, it's funny. Sometimes we just, you know, we don't even talk about it. Like, yeah, but he was dealing with an ankle injury, and I think most people kind of assumed, well, it just got better. And he's playing now because he's healthy. And it's like, no, he just found a way to play through it, right? Like he said, a lot of times people wouldn't play through that ankle injury, but they got creative. And it wasn't even necessarily a brace so much as it was kind of like an insert that they would put in there, and they would like tape it up really tight. And it was just a way to get it so like the tendon wouldn't like kind of snap over into a spot it wasn't supposed to be. Like, really, that's what he was dealing with. So, you know, if you watched him last year and you were like, man, he doesn't look as mobile as I remember, it's probably because he wasn't, because he was dealing with that. And, you know, it's just funny because you don't necessarily find out about that stuff until long down the road, and he had a surgery in January to fix it. And now he's kind of back where he wants to be. But, yeah, assume when you're watching a game in like week 12, like 80% of the roster is dealing with something that they have to manage throughout the week.
A guy from, you know, attended Jesuit, then goes to LSU, and now his career has brought him here to the New Orleans Saints. So definitely a guy that fans are our favorite of. Moreau talked about balancing the concern of personal health with his desire to play for his teammates.
Everyone has a different answer, right? For me, this game's given me everything I've ever had. And I have to repay it in any possible way that I can. And, you know, even when I was back in Vegas with the Raiders, you know, I'd consider it, there's anywhere from 55 to 70,000 people are going to come and pay to watch you play football on a daily basis. And that's nothing that I ever could have dreamed of when I was 12 years old. You know, you go back to the old XFL, the XFL quarterback, I forget his name, but asking himself two questions like, all right, question one, do I have a pulse? Yes. Question two, am I alive and active on game day? Yes. Okay, so let's go play football. It's not necessarily to that demeanor, but if I'm healthy, I'm playing. And if I could run, I'll play.
Yeah, Foster Moreau there, basically a guy that loves the game of football, appreciates where he's gotten to in the game, and all those opportunities, you know, that you're on a time clock, obviously, in the league, and he wants to make the best of it. You totally appreciate having a dude like that around.
Yeah, so the guy he's quoting is Jeff Brohm, who is actually, you know, he was head coach at Purdue, and now he's a head coach at Louisville.
Right.
And that was from, yeah, the old XFL, the he hate me XFL days, which that was a wild time. But, no, and I think that's, you know, when, and one of the other questions he was asked, if that ever creates friction, he said, like, everyone has their own answer, and okay, what if that answer, someone else's answer doesn't match up with your answer of, like, exactly how much should you play through,
yeah,
and what's reasonable to play through? And he said, you know, it doesn't necessarily cause friction in the locker room, like, because everyone appreciates, like, everyone's working hard, everyone's doing what they can. But I do think to some extent there is a level of expectation of, hey, yeah, you're hurt, but everyone's dealing with stuff.
Something.
You mentioned, like, there's going to be several players out on the field today. You know, a guy like Mason Tipton, I wonder if he's going to be out there. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury.
I'd sure like to see him.
It's tough to put him on the roster without him appearing in a preseason game. And he's a guy who was, a you know, shining early in camp. And at that point, I think I did have him on one of my projections, one of my early projections. Then he wasn't able to go against the Cardinals. He wasn't able to go against the 49ers. And if he doesn't get out there today, I don't know if you really can make that decision. And he might end up on the practice squad if you can't show anything. And so, you know, is he going to try to play through something? We'll see. But, you know, I think there's going to be several players out there today dealing with something. But the putting good tape out is more important to them than being comfortable. And that's something that's not everyone deals with the same way.
Obviously, Moreau playing with Carr in those Raiders days, he has a lot of familiarity with the quarterback, good relationship with him. One of the things he was asked to was about Derek Carr, year two in New Orleans, and also the fan sentiment.
I mean, it's complicated, right? It's complicated. And I've been just about everywhere as a Saints fan through my entire life, right? From as early as I can remember, it was Aaron Brooks. But, you know, as late as I can remember, obviously, it was Drew. And it's hard because there's an extremely high level of expectation. So accountability has to be up. And I do believe this year that our accountability is up. So it'll be interesting to see how we respond. But I think Derek looks great. I think he's had a great camp. I think most all of my teammates would echo that sentiment, and I'm excited to watch us work.
Foster Moreau talking about Derek Carr year two here in New Orleans. And yeah, I know Bobby Hebert always says you never want to be the man replacing the man, and I guess lucky for Carr, he kind of comes in after Jameis Winston, really, but for some reason the Saints Nation has this love affair with him.
No, I don't think he's – I think he's still in that
– the shadow of
Brees. You never really got a full season out of Jameis to say he was the guy that got held up to Drew. And even Andy, like, he was kind of a halfway season. He was never installed as
– the guy.
If we got through the entirety of the 2021 season and Jameis started all 17 games and you had a you could say, like, this was a full dose of Jameis – then I think that we might be able to say that he kind of took that, you know, that bullet for the next quarterback, who isn't going to be compared to Drew. He's going to be compared to Jameis. We didn't get that. We never got that with Jameis in 2021. We never got that with him in 2022 because we got a lot of Andy Dalton. So it really became, okay, the first guy you really brought in as the guy, right? Because Jameis was here in advance. He was studying behind Drew, and you thought, hey, maybe he can take over. And so, no, I think Derek is that guy. And that's a big part of why his first year was looked at so critically. And he did struggle at points. But he also was really, really good at points, especially toward the end of the season. But it does feel like he has not won over a lot of people yet. And you got to win. Like, that's at the end of the day, you got to go out there and win. You got to go to the playoffs. You got to prove that it's not just another season of, okay, we're just going to kind of float in the middle of the pack and not ever really be excited about anything. You got to do something. You got to string wins together. You got to have a calling card moment. And if he can do that, I think he'll win some people over. But until you can do that, it's going to be the same. You're going to kind of get that, you know, it's just a, it's not confidence. It's like the confidence in the opposite direction. It's confidence that things won't go well. That even if you start 2-0, they started 2-0 last year. Like that should be like
you would never guess that. Right?
I mean, like they never do that. You know, like this is a team that almost always has a bad loss in the first 2 to 3 games. So even during the peak Sean Payton years, you almost always had that bad loss. I think back to Ryan Fitzpatrick in Tampa, right? Like L.A. In week 2 when Breeze got hurt, they still won a bunch of games, went to the playoffs that year, and so you had confidence even after those slow starts that they could turn things around and get to the postseason. It's the opposite now, where you could get out to a 3-0 start and you're still kind of looking over your shoulder waiting for the other shoe to drop. And until you can prove that that's not going to happen every year, you're going to get a lot of hesitancy to commit fully to that situation. So it's at the end of the day, you got to win. And that's where I think Derek is right now.
We always hear guys talking about accountability.
Yeah.
Accountability, a big factor, obviously, when it comes to team play, in the locker room, on the field. And it seems that Morrow might have one of the bigger voices on the team when it comes to that. He was asked, are you this team's accountability enforcer?
I think I'm just the loudest, I'll be honest. That's what DA would tell me. But I don't know. There's plenty of guys who shed tons of accountability on people. I just have a little bit of knowledge, and it'd be I'd be remiss if I didn't try to share it, because I love these guys and I care a lot about these guys, and I want us to be great and I want us to win a lot of games. And it doesn't happen if someone isn't holding someone accountable. So if it's me, it's me sometimes, right? And I don't really like being that guy, because I love everyone, but sometimes you get a little red ass.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sometimes you get a little red ass, Jeff.
I've never heard
that happens
that.
On the air,
is that,
too.
Is that a saying? I don't know if
yeah,
I've ever
yeah,
heard
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a little
early. Yeah. But, hey.
One thing I noticed when Morrow showed up, it was like even in the locker room right away, I felt like his presence was there, his personality, very loud, boisterous, was making even messing with the lights, turning on and off. It was just surprising for someone that had just arrived to the team.
He's a character.
Yes,
there's
for
no
sure.
Question. There's no question. But I think there's a difference between being a character and being a leader. And I'm not saying Foster's not a leader, but I do think that the Saints team, the Saints roster, one of – you know, if you're looking for reasons to say, okay, why should we be confident despite, you know, all the national pundits saying, oh, there's not enough talent, there's whatever. And it's, you know, one big thing they have in their corner is basically in every room on this team and every position group, you have a really strong leadership type player. Right? In the defensive end group, you have Cam Jordan. In the linebacker room, you have DeMario Davis. In the safety room, you have Tyrann Mathieu.
It's pretty unbelievable, those
right?
three right there.
In the running back room, you have Alvin Kamara. You know, in the tight end room, you have Taysom Hill. I kind of still look at him as a tight end, but and Foster, who I do think is a good accountability type guy, right? And so, you know, I think that benefits
McCoy's
you as a team.
McCoy's kind of turned that dude on the
offensive line group. You have Eric McCoy, right, who I think is really taking a step forward. So,
right,
you know, I think that's the type of thing that when you know, you could look at if you look at a Madden roster and you see, like, wow, why are the Saints rated lower than I feel like they should be? They feel like they are going to win more games than maybe that number would indicate. It's because when you have leadership like that, it helps you, you know, the sum of your parts, right? It helps you outperform what might on paper not look like the best roster in the NFL, right? So I think that's what you're hoping is the case, and the accountability is a part of that. You know, that's why you go to Irvine. Now, part of that's getting out of the heat, but part of that is kind of the bonding, the team chemistry that you're able to generate by kind of sending everyone off on their own, putting them in hotel rooms, giving them nothing really to do but to be together and work on stuff and, like, become closer as a team. And, you know, that's something that has to manifest on game day. And if it does, hey, maybe you can win a couple games that otherwise might have gone the other way because you're able to find that extra gear. You know, but sometimes that's, you know, you could say that. It's really easy to say that.
Yeah.
And it's a lot harder to actually put that into practice.
I know that you weren't out with the team for the West Virginia days, but I got to imagine being sequestered out in L.A. is a lot better than West Virginia.
I have no frame of reference. I imagine it is. I mean, the weather is probably similar. I don't know what it probably rained a little bit more in West Virginia than it did in California.
We had a few rain days, but yeah, it was waking up in the morning, very cool, comfortable temperatures.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more to do, generally speaking,
exactly,
than there would have been
right
in West Virginia.
Maybe more to get in trouble with, too.
Probably ate fewer Subway sandwiches than you did. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, hopefully that manifests into something. Now, do they do that again if it worked? That's the question. But I think that's a happy problem to have if it ends up being because you won 11, 12 games and went to the playoffs.
I think we've heard from a ton of people, though, that the plan is going forward to be back in Metairie for next season's training camp, not to be in a destination.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to just go to California just to go to California. They also, next year, you're going to have one road preseason game and two home preseason games.
Right.
Whereas this year you had two road preseason games. So that
kind
allowed
of made
you
a little sense there.
So I think a scenario where, hey, we have the first preseason game on the road, maybe they give you LA, the Rams or the Chargers, and maybe you start camp out there,
yeah,
and then you finish camp here, kind of like they did this year, but with an extra, like, instead of staying out there for that second week, you come back after the road game. After, you know, the Cardinals game, you would have come home.
Yeah.
I think that's a scenario that might make sense because you're taking advantage of the facility, your own facility, a lot more than maybe you did this year. I don't think you're going to – you know, 28 days, that's too long, I think, for any team. That's just – I think it wears on you after a while, and that last week felt like, you know, from my perspective, and I'm sure the players felt like – Jamal Williams definitely felt that way. it drags on a little bit because you feel like you got the work that you needed to get done, and now it's like, okay, let's get ready for the season. But, you know, if they lose 10 games, then no way they're doing it again.
That all-important thing, winning, the importance of winning. Mora was asked, how important is a – successful season this year for the team and for head coach Dennis Allen?
Obviously, there is a lot of noise. And again, back to expectations. We're a good football team with a good roster, with experienced players, and we need to make the playoffs and we need to make a push in the playoffs, right? So good enough is never really truly good enough. So you could have a winning season all you want. You could have all these accolades and all these stats and all these Pro Bowlers, but there's one winner in this league. And then there's a whole lot of losers, right? And you could do that as long as you want. But for us, we're trying to win. We're trying to win now. That is apparent and obvious to everyone.
Yeah, and what do you know? The good old Super Bowl right here in New Orleans this year. I don't think anybody has this team even penciled in as a contender for it. But the team, the guys in the locker room don't want to hear any of that or believe that. They have Super Bowl aspirations, obviously.
I think the guys in the locker room have them penciled in for that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you go into a season and not at least believe, hey, we are going to do this.
We got a chance.
Right, and because if you go in already defeated, then what's the point of playing the games at all? But no, I mean, here's the thing. When it comes to the NFL, everyone likes to pretend they have all the answers, and, like, I can look at this roster and know exactly how many games they're going to win. And, you know, Jeff Duncan from NOAA.com, he always does a survey before the season every year, and my issue of, like, when I answer that question is I have to balance how many games do I – do I think they can win?
Right, the optimism.
And how many games do I think they will win?
Right.
Because I think that's a very significant difference of, like, if everything goes right, I think this team can win double-digit games. I think they can get to the playoffs. Now, what happens if you have injuries at key positions? What if the timing of your season creates a few schedule losses where, oh, well, you know, we would have won this game if it was on a Sunday, but we played it on a Thursday, and this person wasn't able to get back in time? And that sort of thing, like, oh, there was a, you know, a fumble at the goal line of this, like the Falcons game last year, right? If Taysom Hill doesn't get that ball punched out at the goal line, do they win it? Probably, right? So it all comes down to these really tiny moments and swings of momentum that you just can't predict in advance. And so much of it is luck. So much of it is guessing. And, you know, do the Saints win a Super Bowl if Brett Favre doesn't throw the ball back across the field right into Tracy Porter's arms? I don't know, but that's not something the Saints could have controlled. They benefited from it. So there is such an element of randomness. And can this team get to the Super Bowl? Yeah, it's tough. I wouldn't bet on it, but can it happen? Sure. Now, you got to get to the playoffs first. And I think that's the first step. Once you get there, anything can happen. I watched the Giants win two Super Bowls on the strength of a pass rush and Eli Manning blacking out and having the games of his life, right? Like, can this team do that? I don't know. But they are built similarly to those Giants teams. I'll put it that way.
We are inside the dome, folks. Gate B, Loge level set up here, getting ready for the countdown, the kickoff, coming up at 11 o'clock with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, presented by Craig's Electrical Generator Service. Great spot inside the atrium. Come see us for sure before you make your way to the seats. We're going to take a break. Be back with more First Take, brought to you by the Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination, right after this on WWL.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.